means happy. Happy, praise God. You know how many happy folks today? Y'all be happy. Praise God. I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God is on my side, and I'm on his side. So he said, blessed is he that considers the poor. If you look out in the margin of your Bible, you'll find that Scofield says that that word poor means sickly or weak. Now notice, the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. And this is the only time in this psalm that it mentions trouble by name, but there's much trouble here. Notice, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all of his bed in sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I am sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When he shall die and his name perish. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. My heart gathereth iniquity to itself. And when he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they despise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now he that lieth, he shall rise up no more. Now let me stop long and say this. I'm going to explain some of these things while I'm preaching this morning. But the enemies of David said, you're sick and you'll never get out of that bed. Now, you know, it's bad when you're sick. Somebody comes along and says, you look bad. It's bad when you're feeling bad and somebody comes along and reminds you of that. And here's what they said, you're going to die, David. All right, look at verse 9. Yea, my own familiar friend, and this is talking about Absalom, of whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest of me in mine integrity. Certainly David was bold to say that he had integrity. And settest me before thy face forever and forever. Then he comes back with this word blessed again. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Years ago when I started using that double amen, somebody said, where'd you get that? I prayed. I said, amen, amen. I said, I got down the Bible, praise the Lord. And he said, from everlasting to everlasting, our God, amen and amen. You know what amen means? Amen means let it be so. And sometimes in the Psalms, and one time in Habakkuk, you read the word Selah. You know what the word Selah means? It says, what do you think about that? Next time you read in the Bible, you come to that word Selah, it says, what do you think about that? And in modern terms, it says, how you like him, apple? Say amen right there. Now that's what it is. We need to know what the Bible said. But here he said, amen and amen. He said, let it be so. Let this be so. Now, just a moment. Let you be seated. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to bring you a message on where was God in the time of trouble. And where is God in the time of your trouble? And you'll wonder sometimes, where is the Lord? I'm going through so much. But I believe God will help us. You be seated, beloved. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we thank you for every blessing of this revival. All week we've enjoyed being with Brother Jack. The fellowship has been so blessed. We thank you for this good church and the blessings here. And we pray that the temple shall always be a holy place, a dedicated place, where hungry-hearted men and women can come in and feast at the table of God. Lord, we've come to worship thee this morning, and we know that we've heard songs that are worshipful, and we thank you for them. And our fathers, we come, we pray now that you'll speak to us. Help us, God, that we may be able to help others. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's got much trouble, that they may be like David of old. Thank you that David knew where to turn in the end. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Save the lost. And bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on where's God in the time of your trouble. Now this psalm was written when David was reaping a harvest of sin. Trouble was up and trouble was around. And trouble was everywhere. Now somebody said, how do you know everybody's got troubles? Job said, man is born of woman. Few days and full of trouble. You look around, beloved, you'll find trouble. Every family has trouble. Many churches have trouble. And I said that many preachers are having trouble. But in this trouble, David, let me give you three things. David looked at his trouble. First of all, David looked at his trouble and he misunderstood it. It's easy to misunderstand trouble. Sometimes trouble will make you pray. Sometimes trouble will make you go to God. Sometimes trouble, my friend, will humble your knees before God. And he misunderstood the purpose of his trouble. I tell you, as old David looked around, he kept saying, "Why, Lord?" Have you ever seen people like that? Why, I know in my own life, there have been things that's happened, and I said, "I don't understand it. I misunderstand the trouble. Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" Not only did he misunderstand his trouble, but he magnified his trouble. He thought his trouble was greater than it really was. If you're not careful, bless your heart, you'll magnify your troubles. You'll see trouble everywhere. You'll see bears behind every tree. I mean, you'll see everything that'll make you look down instead of looking up. And he magnified his troubles. I never like to hear people get up and testify and magnify their troubles. I used to have a lady in my church, and her name was Miss Crossland. And I don't like this when it comes to testifying, but I liked her testimony. I don't like for a person to give the same testimony every time he gets up. Brother, I like to hear somebody say, "I want to tell you what God did yesterday. I want to tell you what God did this morning." Have something fresh when you testify. But Miss Crossland would get up in my church, and she's old, and she'd say, "Wait a minute, preacher, before you preach, I want to testify." And I'd say, "All right, testify." And she'd say, "Brother Mays, I sure would be in a mess if it wasn't for Jesus." And she'd sit down. Every time she got up, she'd say, "Brother Mays, I sure would be in a mess if it wasn't for Jesus." And one day angels came and bore her away on snowy white wings. You know, I preached her funeral. You know what I preached on? "We sure would be in a mess if it wasn't for Jesus." Praise God. But let's not magnify our troubles. I was talking today with Brother Floyd about a church in Virginia, Chilhowee Baptist Church. There used to be an old fellow sat in the back, and when he'd get up, he had more troubles than anybody I've ever seen. And I was up there with Brother Wisey Gordy preaching in a revival. I remember just before I got to preach, that man jumped up and said, "I want to testify." And he said, "Lord, it's hard to live for Jesus. I've got so many troubles, and I never heard such pitiful tales in all of my life." And there's a young fellow sitting behind him that looked up, and after I preached and after we started giving the invitation, that old man turned around and said to that young boy, "Would you like to be a Christian?" He said, "Lord, no, I'm having enough trouble serving the devil. I don't want to get to that much trouble." Let me tell you, that's a bad testimony. When you magnify your troubles, David misunderstood his troubles, and David magnified his troubles. But here's the third thing you'll find that David did. David's main trouble was with the Lord. You see, he just wasn't right with God. A lot of times we have troubles, and we try to lay it on this and lay it on that. But his main trouble, he just wasn't straightened out with God. He looked good. He's a king. But I want to tell you his main trouble. He wasn't straight with God. But you'll find this psalm divided into three parts. I want to give them to you. If you have your pencil, I want you to jot them down. Verse 1 through 3, you'll find David's fears. Verse 4 through verse 9, you'll find David's foes. And verse 10 through verse 12, you'll find David's faith. Praise God, I'm so glad that he had faith. And brother, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. My Bible said this is the victory when your faith. And when you've got troubles, you better have faith. And when everything looks like the bottom's falling out, you better have faith. But because of time, I want you to jot down three things. First of all, we see how David, this man of God, realized his fears. Now, brother, he realized he had them. Somebody said, "I'm not afraid." You know, this is an age of fear. Some people fear sickness, having cancer. Somebody fears tomorrow. Somebody fears death. Somebody fears getting fat. Why, most ladies, they fear getting fat. I was preaching the other night to ladies. I said, there are two things that a woman don't like to tell you. But I said, did you know that God protected them in the Bible? And everybody looked at me and I said, did you know that the Bible never calls a woman fat? Now, it calls a lot of men fat. I got a sermon where a left-handed man stabbed a fat man, and I called it Lefty Left Fatty Habit. Say amen right there. But listen, you won't find in the Bible where it said a woman's fat. Not a place in the Bible. Secondly, you will not find a place in the Bible but one where it ever tells the age of a woman. But in Genesis 23 and verse 1, it tells that Sarah lived 127 years all the days of her life. So you see, God protects. He protects the woman. He protects. But a lot of women have fears of getting old. And a lot of women have fears of getting overweight. And then there's a lot of folks that have fears, my friends, of the unknown. I'll always respect Billy Kelly. I remember I was with Rat Sexton in a revival meeting. And Billy's little boy died. Just got sick and died like that. Brother Ralph and I got in the car in Asheville and went down to Greenville, South Carolina, and walked into that funeral home. That little precious boy was lying there in the coffin. Old Billy Kelly got up and his eyes protruded and blood. Oh, listen, I want to tell you, there's blood shot from crying. He walked toward me and he said, aren't you on the radio at Jacksonville? I said, been on for years and still am on in Jacksonville, Florida, every morning, 7 days a week. But he said to me, he said, I'm coming out of Jacksonville the other day. And I said, you were? And he said, Billy Kelly's going to step up and sing, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. He said, Brother Mays, last week, I didn't know my little boy had been arrested. Last week, he said, even 2 days ago, we didn't realize that he'd die. But he said, I want to sing you and Rat Sexton a song. He reached over on that coffin and laid that big hand right back over his little dead boy and sang, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Boy, we have a shouting spell right there in that place. Listen, people, I need to recognize their fears. Now, here are three things about David recognizing his fears. First, he recognized with his enemies that he was helpless. Now, brother, he recognized that. He said, I'm poor. And Scofield says in the margin, that word poor means sickly. If he was so helpless, what happened to the lion killer? What happened to the bear slayer? What happened to the giant killer? David slew Goliath of Gath. David was a mighty warrior king. And now he's poor, he's sickly, he's weak. And he realized his helplessness. But oh, that's the first step. You'll never get help till you realize you're helpless. And when you can't do it, God can do it, mister. Secondly, he realized his hard bed. Oh, it wouldn't give him any rest. My dad used to say this, and I'll not stay on that hard bed long. He used to say to me, son, if you make your bed hard, you lie on it. And Mr. David made his bed hard. And he realized he was afraid and couldn't get rest. And he didn't get no rest. David said night was always with me. Morning never comes. He couldn't find rest. I want you to know, friend of mine, you're in bad shape. If you can't rest, some of you can't rest at night. You toss and turn. Oh, listen to me. Therefore, there remaineth for rest for the people of God. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, he realized he was helpless. He realized his bed was hard. And then he realized the hand of God didn't seem to always be with him. Now he was. Boy, I'm glad there's an unseen hand that's with me and is with you. Oh, when Brother Jack told about those, typewriters, I said, Lord, where were you? But God was in the same place he's always been. God's going to teach us. David had some trouble, and he said, God, where is your hand with me? I want to tell you, if we don't have God's hand, we can't sing, we can't preach, we can't live for God. There's a hand of God. And oh, when the hand of God's in your life, when the hand of God's upon your life, it's a blessed thing. So he had to recognize his fears. Now let's come to the secondly, beginning with verse 4 through verse 9. He had to realize his foes. You see, he had a lot of enemies. A lot of people don't know who the enemy is. I want to tell you, you better recognize your enemies. Now if I had time, we'd go into it in detail. But look at 1 John chapter 2. There's three enemies of every person in this house. The world. And I'm not talking about smoking cigarettes or watching TV necessarily. I'm talking about the world system. You better not fall in love with the world system. Praise God, you better be connected to his system and to him and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd better be connected to the right system. But the Bible said, love not the world, either the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, so the world's your enemy. Secondly, the flesh is your enemy. And don't you ever get it. Your flesh is not saved. It's still flesh. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll always be flesh.